in a time of great unrest. A misguided faction of brazen wannabes gather together. Their goal, comedy. Their qualifications, non-existent. They have an incredible amount of time on their hands. They are without conscience or taste. They are the Unprofessionals!
In a world where lots of things happen.
Oh my god, so many things are happening.
Where the lines between fantasy and reality are blurred.
Oh my god, this spiked Fiskatorian sulfate mutant shellfish cosmopolitan hypotheria tree man looks so real.
Two fates inescapably bound.
It's you.
It's you.
It's like destiny.
He is a teenage vampire.
There's something you must know.
What? What is it?
I'm a vampire.
No way!
She is a teenage American.
You're a vampire?
Yeah.
That's so hot!
Desperate to be together, destined to be parted by vampirical abstinence and massive Hollywood corporations.
Kiss me.
No.
Why not?
I might get overexcited. I'm not supposed to get into your pants until at least the fourth installment.
His very existence will place her in mortal danger.
I'm not afraid.
You should be.
Why?
I have chlamydia.
Oh.
He is a vampire.
I am a vampire.
She is an American teenager.
That is so, like, totally hot.
Together, they will brave many dangers, face many shirtless men and homoerotic couplings. They will learn of romance, loyalty, and bravery, but most of all, they will learn of angst.
I'm so lost.
I'm so horny.
Coming soon to cinemas nationwide, the new teenage vampire romance that sees two young people staring at each other intently for an impossibly long time. Mid-afternoon. Angst has never been so angsty.
Ah, it's up in the morning to you. Welcome to Brian Air Coffee Shop.
Brian Air? I thought you were only an airline.
Oh no, in these times of economic pressures, we've branched out, decided to expand our low-cost drive into other areas, while still delivering our distinctive level of service. We have Brian Air battery-formed eggs, Brian Air organ replacement, and now we even write for Hollyoaks.
Aren't you just doing everything cheap and making it trashy? Is there anything you don't do?
We did try Brian Air accountancy for MPs, but to be honest, there's really not much of a market for anything low-cost there. Anyway, you don't want to hear about that. Would you like a drink?
Yes, I'm in a bit of a rush. Can I have... where's your coffee list?
Well, we don't have one on the wall, but I can provide one to you for 50p.
You're charging me 50p for a menu?
Yes, all part of keeping prices low. Posters are expensive, you know. It's why we offer a range of coffees, starting from a pound.
No, that's fine. I'll just have a medium half-calf, no foam, white chocolate shot, vanilla latte.
£15.30, please.
£15.30? I thought your coffees were low cost and started from a pound.
Well, they do all start from a pound. Let me check I got your order right. Tell me again and I'll work it out for you.
I wanted a medium...
£1.
Sorry, what?
£1. You want a medium something, that's a pound. Our coffees start from a pound. Carry on.
Half calf?
£5.
No foam?
£9.
White chocolate shot?
£11.30.
Vanilla latte?
£12.30 and £15.30.
That's ridiculous! What if I have it without the vanilla or white chocolate?
£12.
And if I don't want the half calf?
£18.
What? How is that more expensive?
Do you know how hard it is to put back in all those casks we extracted earlier?
Never mind, I'll just take the latte with the half calf, please.
Will you be stirring it?
What?
Will you be stirring your coffee? It's not complicated.
Of course I will. I'll need to stir it when I put the sugar in.
That'll be another £2 for the wooden stirring device, or £3 if you wish to upgrade to our premium stirring equipment. A spoon. Oh, and of course £1.50 for the sugar.
No, that's fine. I'll just take it as it is.
Would you be interested in a napkin for the dribble, or...?
No.
Would you like that delivered?
Delivered? Delivered where?
To your table, the one I presume you wanted to drink your coffee at. That's £2. But that is a two-hour delivery slot. If you wanted a 10-minute delivery slot, that's just £4.
Look, I just want a simple drink before I go back to work. Can I have a plain, black coffee, no milk... No sugar, no napkin, no delivery to anywhere, and definitely no stirring. That's all I want. Now, please just give me my coffee.
Ah, you idiot! What the hell are you doing throwing hot coffee at me?
Oh, did you want to buy a mug as well?
I'm guessing by your nerves that you don't have much experience with interviews.
Oh, well, no, it's just...
I don't mean to be rude, it's just that it doesn't really create a good first impression, does it?
Sorry, I just wasn't really sure how the interview would take shape.
You did read the brief.
It kind of slipped my mind. But I read all about you, credentials, experiences.
You're treading water now, backtracking. Don't try to be smart, I do know who I am.
Sorry, I'm
so
sorry.
So, the interview, can we start?
I always thought, well, reading books, don't you, that a bit of small talk usually breaks the ice.
I'm kind of on a schedule here, Rob.
Oh, yeah, we'd better fire away then.
Are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be, as they say.
Okay, excellent. Let's begin.
So, Kaz, tell me, what first attracted you to the position of Senior Samaritan Counsellor?
Lord Cromwell, the king has been defeated and our victory is secure. You are lord of these isles.
Fabulous. And so to London. Darling, I return from battle with the king and would seek audience with you in the bedchamber.
I'll just get undressed.
What? Who might you be, sir?
Oh, hello, Mr. Cromwell. I thought you were off giving one to the king.
Aye, that I was. But now I return to my house only to discover you, sir. May I ask your name?
It is Cad, sir. Lionel Cad, professional rake and adulterer.
I see. And I suppose you are here in order to seduce my wife.
Your wife? No, sir. I've been your chickens out back.
My what?
That's right, sir. I've been bedding your chickens in order that I might create a new species that might serve my every whim.
But, sir, this is blasphemous talk. The Lord God doth decree that you must not lay with animals, particularly the chicken, which is one of the most sinful of species.
I couldn't help it, sir. I love their soft chicken tails.
You, sir, are a scoundrel. How dare you violate my chickens in such a manner? Why, I should...
It's fun. Look, take one.
I don't want it.
Just get undressed. You'll enjoy it.
Oliver! What in the name of the Holy Ghost are you doing with that chicken?
It's not what it looks like, dear Julie, I swear.
How dare you sodomize that chicken under our very roof? You are nothing but a charlatan and a girly man.
Oh, you've done it there, mister. She's well knocked.
Get out of this house this instant, before I have you strung up by your buttocks.
Very well, sir. I know and I'm not wanted. I shall take my leave of you this instant.
What a strange man. Ah, well. In for a penny.
Good evening and welcome to Celebrity Poetry Readings, the show that brings integrity to its knees, tells it to open wide, and shoves a long, meaty shaft of mediocrity down its wanton throat. Tonight, we will be bringing you an evening of culture, tranquility, and a sudden overwhelming desire to end your vacuous, meandering existence. We will be privy to the poetic creations of some of Britain's most gifted poets, whose works consist of anything from rhyme and rabies, haiku and herpes to sonnet and syphilis. The latter being more true than many of you will care to appreciate. Tonight's special guest is British treasure Mr. Nefarious, the Lord General Chief Inspector Geezer, Cockney Cockfighter General, and Guy Ritchie's personal muse. Ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to present to you My Dreams by Vinnie Jones. Mr. Jones.
All right.
Tell us about your work here, Mr. Jones. What inspired you to pen this poem?
Well, I was having dreams.
Indeed. But the content of the poem, what is the subject matter?
More dreams.
Yes, I know, but it would be good for our listeners to get an insight as to what exactly this poem means to you.
What do you mean?
At what point in the working process did you go from, ooh, that was an interesting dream, to actually putting pen to paper?
When I woke up.
I see.
Yeah, look, can I start now?
Both I and our listeners wait with bated and admittedly... ragged breath.
All right. In my dreams. In my dreams, there are bunnies. Skipping, skipping, skipping. Skipping, 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 skipping all around, whilst I am tripping, 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 as they are skipping all around. So I am now admitting, as I am tripping, 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 whilst they are skipping, 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 skipping all around, that I take great pleasure in watching the furry mothers drown.
Yes, Mr. Jones, quite well done, thank you. We'll, see you soon, I hope.
But I ain't finished yet.
I think the power of the piece was portrayed quite beautifully in just the one verse.
But...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Jones. Well, that's all we have time for this week. Tune in next Tuesday when we will be listening to the premiere broadcast of Culinary Skills, How to Make Your Man That Perfect Steak Dinner by Carol Ann Duffy, and excerpts of the beautiful, yet brief biography, Me and the Women in My Life by Oscar Wilde. Thank you. Good night.
Good God!
Hello.
Hello.
Cold outside, isn't it?
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, would you mind stepping out of the cupboard, please?
What for?
Sir, this is a primary school. Why someone of your age would be hiding in a primary school cupboard is beyond me. And if the children's parents were to find out, I can't imagine how angry they'd be. Now, if you don't mind, please leave.
Leave?
Please.
But I like it here.
I don't care.
It's cozy.
It's a cupboard.
And a very cozy one. Quite frankly, all I need now is a teacup and I'll be happy.
Sir, this is unacceptable. And what on earth is that on your hands?
Glue?
Good Lord.
Well, it is a stationary cupboard. What do you expect me to play with?
Nothing. You shouldn't be playing with anything. You don't belong here.
If you're going to take that tone of voice, I'd rather make room elsewhere.
Thank you.
But when you need a cupboard, don't come asking me. No, sir, I won't budge.
Just go!
All right, I'm going. They have much better cupboards at St. James's School anyway.
I must remember to lock that door. I can't imagine how angry the parents would have been if he'd stolen all of our stationery.
Next, please.
Hi, this is the Lost and Found Centre, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Sorry, I wasn't sure. I couldn't see a sign.
No, we lost it. How can I help?
Well, I was upstairs in the corridor, and well, I only turned around for a minute, but the next thing I knew, my baby was gone.
Your baby's missing?
Yes. Oh, my God, my baby!
What does she look like, madam?
Like a person, but smaller.
I think I remember one of them coming in. Let me rifle through my box. Is this your baby?
Yes!
Oi, don't snatch.
Sorry.
Before I give you your baby, I'm going to have to ask you a couple of questions. It's procedure.
Okay.
Now, when you lost your baby, was it dead?
No.
Right. Well, your baby might have changed a bit since last time you saw it.
Oh, God.
Don't worry. It appears to have been sewn back together by Gavin, the form says. Ah, yes, Gavin. He's a good guy.
Is he a doctor?
No, he's a beekeeper. He has taken recreational sewing classes, though. Only got a bronze certificate, mind you. Teacher had it in for him.
Look, I don't care. Just give me my baby.
Of course.
My baby's gone!
Have you lost it again? You are clumsy. People like you keep me in business.
No, she's here, but she's gone!
Oh, I see, yes, gone. Well, if you're interested, we have a special replacement service available.
Really?
Yes. If you don't mind waiting till I finish my shift, I'll take you to my flat and we make another one.
You do that for me?
Of course.
Thank you so much.
That's all right. I'm just sorry I could have been in help with the last one.
Oh, don't worry about it. She was getting a bit fat anyway.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. On behalf of US Airways and the major governing bodies of the world, I would like to apologize for the imminent nuclear strike beneath us, which will decimate the entire surface of Earth and leave it sterile for hundreds of years to come. This also means that tonight's destination, London Heathrow, will have disappeared in approximately 15 minutes, which gives you just enough time to say goodbye to your loved ones and peruse our onboard duty-free catalogue. Those passengers who feel they are unable to make the final length of the journey can ask for assistance from our helpful stewardesses, who are now going through the aisles with an assortment of pills, garrote wire, and designer plastic bags. Passengers are also reminded that this is still a non-smoking flight, and should they wish to light up, they are asked politely to wait until the huge shockwaves from beneath us rip the plane apart. Once outside the aircraft in freefall, passengers are permitted to smoke as much as they want in the intermittent time between air disaster and impact. Those of you lucky enough to survive both the descent and the nuclear energies may find it interesting to note that, in a post-apocalyptic world, mutants are bad, while spikes and leather are very, very good. Well, that's all for now, folks. Myself and the co-pilots are about to open a very expensive bottle of whiskey, so apologies if we experience any turbulence. It's the booze, not the end of the world.
Why did you have to embarrass me in front of everybody?
It's only family, and don't slam the doors.
I'll slam the doors whenever I feel like, thank you very much, and they're your family.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means they don't count. Wait a minute, I haven't got my belt on yet.
Belt up, then.
I'll belt you when we get home.
Turn left at the next junction.
You don't say.
Melanie.
Oh, Melanie, is it now?
That is your name, yes.
Well, Richard is your name, which can also be known as Dick. Dick!
You know I don't like being called that.
Well, you can...
Go straight on.
You can be quite childish sometimes.
Oh, you're the one behaving like an infant with this sat nag on all the time. You know how to get home. You've done this journey a million times.
Yeah, well, I paid for her.
Her? I'll tell you what. You have no idea how tempting it is to rip her off and stick her up your...
Exit here.
I mean, she's so snooty.
Oh, for goodness sake. I'll put the male voice on next time.
You mean you had the choice, and you chose her?
It's only a gadget.
Men.
Melanie, enough!
Destination reached. You are now home.
Yeah, I bet you've been here before, love, haven't you?
Let's get inside.
Richard, you are not taking that woman into our house.
Okay. God, you're so neurotic, woman. She's gone. Just you and me now, sweetheart. Let's make this moment last.
Turn around when possible.
And now on BBC One, who can hear wedding bells?
I'd see the day where the Doctor got married.
Because those adventuring types rarely do.
No, because I'm from 1642. We met when he saved me from being burned as a witch.
Really?
As we fled, we ran into Samuel Pepys, and for some reason the Doctor kept making snide remarks about how he might want to write everything down. Then we spent Christmas saving London by destroying the very last Dalek, for real this time.
Well, we've all thought we destroyed the very last Dalek.
No, it really was.
Quite the ceremony, though. Never seen so many TARDIS in one place.
It was very nice. Its previous incarnations were able to attend. But they didn't look very happy when the vicar used his full name, did they?
I don't want people to call me the Doctor. Just the Doctor. My name was Glenn, too.
I'm Glenn, and I'm here to help you.
She doesn't have the same mystique.
Probably why he shouted, "Well, I may as well retire from fixing the universe now."
Power in a name?
I thought Glenn was about to snap his sonic screwdriver in half when the vicar said, "If anyone knows any reason why these two people..."
Oh, and then his fourth incarnation bursting through the church doors. That was amazing.
Until it turned out he was actually being chased by Cybermen. 9 wedding guests killed.
Well, not killed, just...
turned into Cybermen. I really don't want to talk about it.
Why?
This is my husband, John.
You will be deleted.
Darling, I thought we talked about this.
You have been greeted?
Close enough.
Next time on Doctor Who.
Exterminate!
Oh, come on!
India Mike Alpha, Sierra, Papa, Yankee.
Level 3 clearance. Proceed.
Intel, I've reached the target's inner hub, requesting code to open the gate.
Have you got visual contact?
Affirmative. Please, can you tell me the code?
Eyes down. Let me put it to you like this.
Crunchy nut, my favourite.
Well, hello. Madam, your trousers appear to have fallen down.
Nom nom nom, I love my beans, I do.
Can you simplify that for me, please?
Blimey, Riley, you donkey plonger. Right. Here we go again.
Crunchy nut, my favourite.
Gandhi's breakfast.
What?
What did Gandhi eat for breakfast?
He ate nothing. Oh, ate nothing. 80.
Yeah, now you got it. Okay, next up.
A woman?
Yeah, but what part of her?
Oh, her legs. 11.
Right again. Well, hello.
Who's that supposed to be? Billy Connolly?
No. Less respected. Well, hello.
Oh, Gordon Brown, number 10.
Madam, your trousers appear to have fallen down.
Baggy trousers?
Think furniture.
What? Oh, droopy drawers, 44.
Nom nom nom, I love my beans, I do.
Oh, I haven't read enough tins. 50.
Higher.
60.
Lower.
Come on, please. I think there's someone coming. 57?
I'm making this far too easy.
2.
Oh, give us a creamy bun!
Bun. Bun rhymes with 1.
You're talking claptrap, boy. What happens if you eat lots of cream buns?
You become fat. 2 fat ladies, 88. Wait, no! Who are you? Ah!
Don't bail on me, mate. You've only got one left. Come on. What do you do if you're injured? A crutch. A duck and a crutch, 27. Blimey, you're not very clever for an intelligence agent, are you?
This Tuesday at 9, Freak TV presents The World's Tallest Dwarf, the exclusive third episode of a brand new documentary series. Look, laugh, and feel better about yourself.
Andrew Mills is not your ordinary dwarf. At the height of 5'9", Andrew doesn't fit in with his fellow dwarfism sufferers.
Andrew, many people have accused you of being an average-sized man. How does that make you feel?
I think it's rather ignorant of dwarf culture, just to assume that because I'm not short, I'm not a dwarf.
Did you get bullied at school?
No.
Do you think suffering from dwarfism but showing no physical symptoms of the condition affected your ability to form friendships?
No.
Was life hard for you at all in any way?
No.
Right.
We talk to some of Andrew's closest relatives to see how they feel about his unique situation.
What's it like being married to a dwarf?
To be honest, I never noticed. Mainly because he's the size of a normal person. I didn't even know he was a dwarf until you guys showed up.
But now, thanks to government funding, Andrew is going to be having an experimental new operation to make him the size of a normal dwarf.
You think being shorter will change your perspective on the world at all?
Yes, I'll have to look up a bit more, but that's a price I'm willing to pay to feel normal.
And Miranda, will you still be able to love your husband once he's had the operation and is several feet smaller?
I'd be lying if I said yes. I'll probably get a new husband and treat Andrew more like a slave that I'll just kick around the garden from time to time.
The World's Tallest Dwarf. This Tuesday at 9, only on Freak TV.
Right, settle down. Italy, finish your ice cream, please. Norway, take your coat off. You too, Finland. It might be cold where you come from, but it's certainly not cold here. The headmaster has just fitted a new heating system, so be grateful.
Ow!
Ukraine, if you stop looking over at Russia, he'll leave you alone.
Hola, sir.
What are you doing here, Zimbabwe? I had you expelled yesterday. Oh, come in, sit down. America, leave Iraq alone, for goodness sake.
Can't you see she's trying to get on with her work?
She's got a cap gun hidden under her desk, sir.
Remember what I told you before, Iraq? Have you got anything to show me?
No, sir.
She got it from Iran.
America. Do try to mind your own business for once, boy. Get back to your desk and sort that mess out before you stick your nose into everyone else's. Italy. Stop drooling over Sweden during my class. Save it for the bike sheds. Speaking of bike sheds, I can smell the smoke on your jacket from here, Jamaica.
Sir, help me.
Israel, what on earth are you doing with that screen?
Palestine keeps lobbing stuff at me, sir.
Take it down right now.
Israel's right, sir. Palestine's always causing trouble.
Shut up, America. Israel's in my space, sir. Look.
Right. See me afterwards and I'll draw a big red line between you if I have to. Zimbabwe, I'll deal with you after class as well.
Sir, I'm hungry.
No, you're not. I'm hungry.
You're such an idiot, Hungary. Ethiopia, you still can't be hungry. Lunch was 10 minutes ago.
I didn't get any, sir, and no one would share theirs with me.
Well, they don't have to if they don't want to, Ethiopia. What is it now, Zimbabwe? This had better be important.
Sir, at lunch, Britain tried to stop me playing cricket with everyone else.
Look, you can't blame Britain for everything, Zimbabwe. Take responsibility for your own actions for once. Right, who's finished the assignment? Good. Show me. Yours is rather similar to America's, isn't it?
That's because Britain always copies America, sir.
Shut up, Franz. I don't, sir.
Britain, I've told you before, haven't I?
I didn't do it, sir.
And I've told you before that England never copies me, sir.
Well, in that case, I'd better just have to trust you. France, don't tell tales in future. Next, you'll be telling me Poland's doing Britain's work for him.
Quiet!
What is this? Why is there water on the floor here? Is this anything to do with you, Antarctica?
Sorry, sir. China put a hole in my water bottle.
Oh, it's always someone else's fault, isn't it? Yesterday, you were blaming America. Britain, this assignment is awful. It's fair to say you have failed economics this year.
It was America's fault, sir.
Oh, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. Fed up, in fact. I can't keep control of any of you stupid kids always blaming someone else. Don't any of you have any morals? Have a free period. I'm going.
But, sir, you have to mark our work, see how we are going, and keep us on the right track.
No, I don't. You're all doomed as far as I'm concerned.
Ow, sir, come back. Iraq just threw a paper airplane at me.
You have been listening to The Unprofessionals. It starred Darren Britton, Johnny Burrows, Caitlin Evans, Aaron Ferguson, Henry Fosdyke, Sophie Petzl, Sean Pogmore, and David Ruddock. The show was written by Dr. Craig Batty, Charlie Boddington, Joe Devine, Peter Fellows, Aaron Ferguson, Michelle Good, Lee McIntyre, Andrea Miller, Scott Payne, Sophie Rose Petzl, Matthew Reynolds, and David Ruddock. Scott Payne was the creator and head writer, and the show was produced by Andrea Miller, with production assistance from Lee McIntyre. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave you now to catch a train to Thorpe Park, where I'm going to scatter the Princess Royal, Princess Anne's ashes from atop the Colossus. Mother, I miss you.